Welcome to Be Dead Source, your home for indictments of all type. My name's Nathan, your least impeached host.
I'm Pat, your philandering host.
I'm Andy, your most criminal host.
And we're trying something a little bit new with these new episodes. Be Dead Source Nights.
It's getting sexy over here.
It is going to get very sexy.
Very sexy.
Very horny. But one thing we're going to do with About Your Week is I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
Oh, solid.
I'm terrible, but I'm good. You know.
Yeah, you want to talk about it?
No.
Okay.
Not really.
Excellent.
Moving on.
That was About Your Week.
Yeah, new format.
So we got a very special topic.
I'm
glad that we frosted off the champagne and everybody's in their fancy formal attire.
Yeah. You guys got your Trump rings on?
What's going on?
The center week? Power up?
I mean, this has been a long time coming. We've been waiting for this for a long time.
Yeah.
It's maybe not everything that we dreamed of, but it is a lot of what we dreamed of.
I think that this actually calls for our generic celebration music.
Absolutely. There it is. Oh, popped up behind us. We can definitely hear it in the room right now.
Oh, that's good. That's quality. No. Oh. That is trademarked.
Damn.
At any rate. We had a new holiday popped up recently.
Yeah, Trump Indictment Day.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Landmark, no. Unprecedented, yes, but I am so sick of hearing that word.
Right.
It's a big deal. It's the first time that a former president has ever been indicted with criminal charges. I've noticed, and I didn't actually look into this until I just said it, but I always hear in the news that it's the first time a former president has been indicted on criminal charges. And does that mean that former presidents have been indicted on, what's the other kind, not criminal,
civil?
Civil charges. So, do you get indicted in civil cases? I don't really know how those work.
So Ulysses S. Grant was pulled over for speeding on his horse.
He was drunk, yeah. He was. And did he get a DUI?
I don't know if they did DUIs back then, but he got pulled over for going too fast on his horse, and it wasn't the first time. It was for excessively, repeatedly speeding on his horse.
Is this a serious answer, or are you making this up?
No, this happened.
Wait, that's for real?
That's for real.
I want a mini fact check just to confirm.
Yeah, no.
Ulysses S. Grant was arrested for driving his horse-drawn carriage too fast in Washington, D.C. in 1872. Grant apparently had a penchant for speeding and a love for fast horses. One day, while driving his carriage too fast in Washington, D.C., he was pulled over by a policeman, an African-American by the name of William West. The policeman then asked for his name, and Grant replied, "I am the President of the United States." The policeman was not impressed and promptly arrested him. "I am very sorry, Mr. President, to have to do it, for you are the chief of the nation and I am nothing but a policeman. But duty is duty, sir, and I will have to place you under arrest." Grant was released on a $20 bond, but failed to appear in court the following day.
Awesome.
I've been inundated on stories about this
that
for
is
the last week.
Fascinating. So. Anyway, so cool. Yeah, you guys want the lowdown?
So yeah, Andy did our research this week tell us what exactly happened. So Andy, what exactly happened?
What didn't happen, my friend? All right, so it really started on March 18th. Trump, he truthed, I guess. He put a message on his social media app, Truth Social, which is like tweeting, except it's named different. It's his fake Twitter.
Yeah,
I'm sort of surprised he hasn't rebooted his Twitter profile yet.
I think
he's been allowed to, but they unbanned him. But
I actually have information about this.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes.
Not to get too sidetracked, but
Elon gave him permission to use his Twitter account again. And here's the thing. No matter what he says, Trump would desperately, desperately love to use that Twitter account again. But the thing is, when he signed up with True Social, he signed an exclusive agreement.
Did he know?
So he's literally not legally allowed to post on Twitter. He has to post on True Social. Because he didn't think he was going to get it back. Because he didn't think that Elon was going to spend an insane amount of money for Twitter.
And if Elon hadn't done that, I think he way more reasonably wouldn't have even wanted to. If Jack Dorsey still owned it,
Exactly. Right. So,
and let him back.
So anyway, Trump seemed like made it seem like he wants to post on Truth Social. That's where he wants to stay. He's not interested in going back to Twitter. That is a lie. That is not accurate. He's not legally allowed to.
Well, that is interesting, but it is off topic. So bringing us back, March 18th, Trump posts on Truth Social, quote, and this is all caps, but I'm not going to shout. Now illegal leaks from a corrupt and highly political Manhattan District Attorney's office, which has allowed new records to be set in violent crime and whose leader is funded by George Soros, indicate that, with no crime being able to be proven and based on an old and fully debunked, by numerous other prosecutors, fairy tale, the far and away leading Republican candidate and former president of the United States of America will be arrested on Tuesday of next week. Protest, take our nation back.
You didn't do it in the voice. Now illegal leaks...
I can't do the voice.
...are coming out.
For so many reasons. So he posted that. Now, he was not, in fact, arrested or indicted on Tuesday of next week. It did take several more days than that, but eventually he was.
Shockingly, the prosecutor's office does not operate based on Trump's timeline that he throws out.
Yeah, well, you know.
But it is shocking that he had, like, enough insider info to know that that was coming.
Well, and for all we know, they changed it up when he put that out because they were concerned about protests that he called for, which just, you know, him saying, protest, take our nation back, there was a lot of accusations of him, like, inciting more violence, and I think it misses the mark. He was calling for protests, and while I think he would be perfectly happy if they did turn violent, because that would be great coverage for him, he wasn't calling for that.
I think it's probably more accurate to say he doesn't give a shit if violence did happen.
Exactly.
But there are people that are currently headed to New York because he is going to be turning himself in on Tuesday, the story.
Yeah, because he was finally formally indicted. So
I do want to throw in one thing that I thought was pretty funny. So this is related, but tangentially. When his supporters heard that he was going to be indicted, they thought he was going to, they were going to have to, like, go to Mar-a-Lago and take him, and so their plan was to block off, like, not everybody, this is a very small group of people, but their plan was to block off the roads on the way to Mar-a-Lago to stop federal agents from being able to go to get him. The problem is that Ron DeSantis, because of Black Lives Matter movement, made blocking any sort of roadway not a misdemeanor, but a felony.
Oh, no.
And so these people would have been guilty of felonies had they tried to do this.
Well, it's the New York DA that is bringing these charges against him. And I have also heard rumors that there will be protests around New York and the DA's office and so on and so forth.
And I think that's great. That's fine. That's people. Those are people's rights.
As long as it stays peaceful.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think, well, we'll get to some of the other stuff. So, yeah, he was finally brought up on charges, indicted by a jury. We don't have any definite details of how the votes went or what the charges are officially. However, I will get into what everybody believes
we
they are.
Some good guesses.
But before we get to that, we pretty much know what they are. They just haven't been formally announced. But before we do that, I do want to just touch on Trump's response on Truth Social to having been indicted.
Sure.
So March 30th now.
Tough but fair.
These thugs, I can't do it. These thugs, and maybe we can get an AI to do it. These thugs, actually, that's a great idea.
These dozen radical left monsters have just indicated that...
He meant to say indicted.
Indicated the felony president of the United States of America and the leading Republican candidate by far for the 2024 nomination for president. This is an attack on our country, the likes of which has never been seen before.
On our country? Not so much, but we haven't actually seen this before. That part is true.
It is likewise unprecedented.
Yeah, it is likewise
a continuing attack on our. I can't do it.
But on what's free and fair elections, the USA is now a third world nation, a nation in serious decline. So sad.
I mean, I actually agree with a few things he said in there.
Yeah.
The USA is definitely a nation in serious decline, and not third world, but like in some dimensions, approaching that. Our level of our democracy and our economy have both taken very serious hits in international measures. But we are off the topic because I absolutely
believe that the two of you mean it exactly the same way.
Oh no, no, you're right. Right? No, no, we don't. So anyway, all right. Getting back to the matter at hand, the charges that Trump is being brought up on have to do with the Stormy Daniels issue. So just to refresh. Donald Trump had an affair with Stormy Daniels. I forget her real name, but that's her porn name. She's a porn star. She's a famous porn star. And he had an affair with her in 2006.
She tried to publish her story couple of times.
Yeah, at least once in 2011-ish, I think. So she tried to publish the story, but after the news that she was whatever publication she was trying to sell it to,
Inquirer.
Talked to the Trump team, if you will. They dropped it immediately. So, interesting. And then she came up again in 2016 because Michael Cohen, Donald Trump's personal lawyer until he turned into Donald Trump's mortal enemy,
right.
To a certain extent anyway, he went and paid Stormy Daniels like $130,000 to not talk about the affair during the campaign.
Now, this is some interesting information because it's hard to see why he wouldn't want her to talk about it. Because in her book, she describes Trump's penis as smaller than average, but not freakishly small. She then spells those rumors. Right. She goes on to say, he knows he has an unusual penis. It has a huge mushroom head like a toadstool.
Ew.
She then says,
glad I know that.
She's quite the writer. I lay there annoyed. I was getting effed by a guy with Yeti pubes and a d- like the mushroom character in Mario Kart.
Yahoo! Wow.
It may have been the least impressive sex I've ever had, but clearly he didn't share that opinion. So, I don't know why he would have wanted to keep that from the public.
It seems like it's all good news, right?
Yeah.
For him, yeah. So, at any rate,
but so
sordid details aside,
the charge is not philandering.
Right. So, right.
The charge is not...
He's not being charged for having sex with Stormy Daniels.
Right.
He's also not being charged paying her off.
He's not being charged for paying to have sex with Stormy Daniels. He's not being charged with paying Stormy Daniels to not talk about having sex. He's being charged for bookkeeping fraud. So, Michael Cohen paid Stormy Daniels. Donald Trump paid back Michael Cohen. And the charges basically is that money constituted a campaign contribution, that Michael Cohen made a contribution to Donald Trump's campaign by paying for Stormy Daniels to not say anything.
Right.
And
right.
That is a violation of the bookkeeping fraud. Or no, then Trump paying him back seemed like a personal favor, which is why it wasn't in his books.
So
something
so
along those lines. We don't have all the official details. So the best that we're doing is cobbling together various pundits' speculation.
Right. But Michael Cohen got paid back over 4 months. The sum total of those four payments was $420,000. And they were earmarked as legal fees for services that Michael Cohen had rendered to Trump when, fact, he had not done any such services for him. And so that mislabeling of funds is part of why this is considered.
Yeah, likely it seems like this is what it is.
Long story short here, basically this is... Al Capone for tax evasion.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I do want, so that's the charges that are being brought. If we're really being, I mean,
I would have thought he did way worse stuff on January 6th than around January 6th.
Well,
but this is what they found.
So I think there, you know, maybe it's worth pointing out then, yeah, at this point, that there are a number of other potential charges against Trump looming.
And the thing is, just because you have, like, a bigger charge out there against you doesn't mean you don't get, like, tagged with your parking ticket or whatever. I mean, this is an illegal thing that he did, and they're finally getting around to it now because he's no longer president. They weren't in a position where they could charge a sitting president for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they've concluded their investigation, or
the grand jury
has.
I would say I think one concern I have about this sticking is I do think that the statute of limitations has expired. I'm not clear on it. It's New York law and stuff, and I'm not a lawyer anyway. But
they also couldn't charge him for 4 full years. Like,
right, but I don't think it matters.
It's not illegal, but there wasn't there's that note that is basically from the Department of Justice that pretty much every Department of Justice has followed, that you just don't indict a sitting president because it looks like a political thing. Well, which, I mean, we're going to have to get into, I think, more in the implications section, but,
And that note is the reason why Mueller wasn't able to actually go after the president.
Right.
And specifically said so in the Mueller report.
Yeah, yeah. Which...
And we were touching briefly on charges looming. I think Andy really wanted to get in about Georgia.
Well, So Trump does have, like I say, a few other outstanding pending cases that may end up bringing charges. And the biggest and most important one to me is the Georgia case. This is concerning his phone calls with Brad Raffensperger, the attorney general in Georgia, during the 2020 election. And, you know, obviously we're not talking about that because charges haven't been brought, but that is juicy as all get out. There's 3 phone calls now, where he is pretty much as close as you can possibly get to just saying, well, then if you can't find them, make them up. Like, it's bad.
Find me 11,000 votes.
Yeah.
We're so close.
There's issues with those cases and stuff, and we can talk about those if charges are eventually brought.
So, look, all I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have.
But with this case, you know, we are still looking at it. It's not even clear if this is, like, going to go very far, what the consequences may be on this. It's not likely to be a lot. These are not charges that are going to lock him away for 20 years. They're not going to have fines that are substantial to someone with this kind of cash. So
could they disqualify him from public office, though?
No.
Okay.
Not that I know of. I think at this point it's all gonna, any damage really from these particular charges is mostly gonna be social, and we can talk about that a little bit later. But I don't really see them having a lot of teeth. What I will say though is, I think it is worthwhile to consider another somewhat recent case that is related, I guess. So you guys remember John Edwards?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So John Edwards had a kid from an affair that he had while his wife was dying in the hospital of cancer.
Sure, sure.
Real great guy. He actually did also, he got indicted, he got charged with something to do with that. I believe it had to do with, like, hush money or the covering up of it.
And I never, ever thought I was breaking the law.
This just hours after being indicted on 6 felony charges. Edwards was charged with violating campaign finance laws by using $925,000 in contributions to hide his pregnant mistress during his 2008 run for president.
And, you know, he did beat those charges. He got off scot-free eventually. So, yeah, because, yay, right, I think?
Anyway. Yay, Johnny.
No, so it... Johnny be good. Bad joke for a different generation.
Guys, you may not like that joke, but your kids are going to love it.
More like your grandparents.
That's true.
It's a Back to the Future reference. It's a pop culture reference. See,
that's a... I'm going to be careful here, but... Back to the Future just never excited me the way most people...
How
like,
dare you?
There's nothing... I don't dislike the movies, but they are not like those... Anyway...
How dare you? How dare you, Nathan says, as he pulls up pictures of him sitting in the DeLorean.
So I think, you know, that more or less sums up, like, the relevant information. Yeah.
Well,
it's a good opportunity for us to tell our listeners about how to get in touch with us.
Yeah, and we want to thank our Patreon supporters. Thank you so much for being there for us. And you can check us out on patreon.com/beatadeadsource.
Yeah, so patreon.com/beatadeadsource. Beat a Dead Source. Hey, that's the name of this podcast.
Amazing.
How convenient. That should be easy for you to remember. And you can donate anywhere from $1 per episode to $1 million per episode.
And we are on
And there's
Facebook
bonus content on there. By the way, you'll get bonus episodes. You'll get...
Uncensored.
That makes it... I know that we're talking a lot about porn in this episode, but that's not the kind of uncensored Pat means.
I think I'm probably going to just, like, redo shot for shot a couple of Stormy Daniels films.
Yeah. So
it might actually be the kind of uncensored Pat means.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But you can also feel free to, hit us up on the socials. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on... Are we on Instagram? Not really.
We have an Instagram.
I don't think I've ever used it, but...
But also we have an email address, beatadeadsource@gmail.com, and you can
send
us
our
an email.
Suggestions.
Stuff you want to hear about. Guests that you'd like us to try and get, because we totally have a lot of pull.
Will Smith is not doing great lately.
Maybe we could get him on. Yeah. So anyway, hit us up on email as well if you want to chat with us.
Can we get Kevin Spacey?
We can try, but do we want to?
Yeah.
if we brought him on and just insulted him the whole time,
I would be afraid to do that. To be completely honest, he's kind of scary.
Have you seen his, like, fireside chat where he talks about, like, killing him with kindness?
Like, he's a terrifying guy.
A little bit.
The next time someone does something you don't like, you can go on the attack, but you can also hold your fire and do the unexpected. You can kill them with kindness.
So, what does all this, what does this mean for America?
Right, so a big thing for me is, does this make Donald Trump more appealing to the right, more appealing to the middle?
Oh.
Yeah.
So
does him being indicted prove everything that he's been saying for years, that they're out to get him, and that they're corrupt, and that they've been looking for a reason to indict him since day one? Which, like... Fair enough, but, like, did you also have to commit crimes, too? Like,
right.
Well, it's like if you committed a whole bunch of murders and then went out to the press and said, these police are going to call me a murderer, and then they found out that you murdered a bunch of people and they arrested you for murder. You, I guess, could be like, told you.
Yeah.
But, like, you got arrested not because they don't like you, but because you're a murderer.
I mean...
And, like, stop breaking the goddamn law if you don't want to be indicted for stuff.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's not entirely like that, because it's pretty impossible to, like, actually deny that this is somewhat politically motivated.
Right?
I mean, that DA ran for that DA office on a campaign of, I'm going to indict Donald Trump.
Right.
Well, it's... politically motivated in that, and I think that's a fair point.
That doesn't said that, mean that, like, it's bullshit. Just means there's a political motivation, too.
But, like, if you live in New York, and even if you live outside of New York, it was pretty clear that Trump and the Trump organization had been getting away with for decades that right. had never been, that had never, no one had ever gone after them
yeah.
because he had powerful friends and because he was politically.
Sure.
So, yes, like, it's politically motivated in that he is a politician, but, like, these crimes.
He is possibly the most divisive politician in our lifetime, and that is a relevant factor here because
yeah.
he instills that love him or hate him, right? And so if you don't love him, if you hate him, then you hate him. And anything you do, anything you say negative towards him is in that context of coming from someone who hates him.
And this is going to be probably, like, a really easy straw man to knock down. But, like, does this establish a dangerous precedent where if, say, in the future, if the Republicans take Congress, they take the Senate and the House, they take the presidency, and they take the judicial, are they going to come back and start indicting past presidents
yeah.
Because the gloves are off now? Like, I don't think that that's a reason to say that somebody should be above the law, but this is something that, you know, we have a tradition of, like, we didn't charge Richard Nixon with any crimes after he left office.
Well, we were going to, but...
He resigned.
No, Ford pardoned him.
Ford pardoned him, right.
And that was a very specific decision that Gerald Ford made because of exactly what you're talking about, because if because he was concerned that... And let's keep in mind that those were also very politically turbulent times.
True.
And if those charges had been brought, what would happen? Do we descend into a tit for tat? Whoever's in power comes after whoever's. And
because
to your point, it's already started. The House is already doing their Hunter Biden investigations.
Well, right, and they've made it abundantly clear that
they said they were going to impeach
Biden before Biden was elected.
Yeah,
with,
yeah.
without like having any
well,
charges, and
that's just something that they say to get their base riled up. That's not.
Yeah,
soon as they have their House committees, they are not just investigating Hunter, but they are doing deep investigations into everything that the Biden administration has done in office. They are searching for anything they can find to pin to Biden.
And let's be clear, like, you can probably find stuff that any president, like Obama drone strike against...
Yeah.
An American citizen in the Middle East and killed them without due process.
Mm-hmm.
George Bush started two, like, you know, unjustified wars and, like, sent Colin Powell to lie to the UN to do it. Like, you can find stuff that past presidents, like, Biden, there might be something there with the Ukraine stuff. I don't know, but, like, there might be, or China connections. But, like, you know, you can probably find something to indict prior presidents
yes.
on.
But I will also say...
Every past president is a criminal.
And
I mean, maybe.
Well, I'm certainly biased to a certain extent. But, like, my thing is, like, yeah, investigate. Like, investigate everybody mm-hmm. for everything, all the time. Like,
yeah.
and then...
Well, sitting
you know
president?
What, and you know what you should do? If Biden broke the law, arrest him. Put him in jail. If mm-hmm. if Hillary broke the law... Put her in damn jail. I don't care. Like, everybody should be held to the same standard.
Yes, however, the justice system in the United States is operated by people.
Mm-hmm.
And people who are handed way more cases than they can actually handle and have to make some choices about what they pursue.
Sure.
Based on what they think they can prove. Not necessarily based on what the truth might be. Like,
mm-hmm.
The justice system and what the justice system determines in any given case does not reflect necessarily reality, what actually happened, who's culpable in truth.
Right.
What the justice system can reflect is what they can prove to a jury. And
mm-hmm.
on one hand, that is a strength because, I think, you know, it's important to have this concept that, you know, innocent until proven guilty. We have to, we're not trying to put a bunch of people into jail on false charges. You know, if these charges brought against Trump were all made up, they're not. But if they were, like, I would want a good justice system to prevent him from going to jail for something he didn't do.
Absolutely.
However, that also means that there's some flaws. There's a high burden of proof. It's sometimes too hard to prove something, and someone who did do something gets away with it.
And a lot of times prosecutors use discretion. Like, they'll just say, okay, we're just not going to prosecute this case for whatever reason.
For any reason. And sometimes it's because, well, we just don't have any evidence. There's no chance of winning this case. And sometimes it's because they got a bribe or something.
Like, well, and the argument I keep hearing from the right, and not everybody, but, you know, certain radical members of the right is like, how can you indict someone who's currently running for office? You're gonna ruin the election. You're like clearly trying to swing it. And like, I'm sorry, but like, we cannot use popularity as a basis for whether someone gets indicted or not.
Right.
Ever. It can't be something that we take in consideration. And that's the argument.
If he keeps running forever, he is just never accountable to the law ever.
According to them.
There will never be an opportunity to prosecute him.
That's not how I understand their comment. When they say, when they're talking about, well, because he's running for office, because he's an ex-president, I think what they're saying is because it's politically motivated, therefore you can't trust it because the motivations aren't trustworthy. And that's a sentiment I actually kind of relate to. I think that when motives are questionable, then everything else about a situation is questionable.
Right.
Might be on the up and up, might not be.
I think that
they're missing the point that he did commit the crime, and if the DA wants to bring those charges, then that is the DA's job to bring the charges. Now, if the DA is bringing those charges instead of bringing up a whole bunch of murderers that they have, you know, rock solid cases against, that is something that I would like to have the DA investigated for if that were the case.
Sure.
But I still am not going to complain about any time a DA says, I have enough evidence to bring charges, so I'm gonna.
Right. I'm all for, investigate everybody for everything.
Like,
and like, maybe the system sucks and like, we should fix that, but like, let's go ahead and use the system, like universally in the same way for everybody. That's my thing about Trump is like, when he was indicted, I didn't feel like I wasn't satisfied. I wasn't like, yeah, got him. I put up a GIF from the John Oliver's show that he sort of made a joke at one point about how like we keep on hearing like Trump did this and Trump did that and Trump did this.
Well, this will be the thing that gets him.
Right. So every time he did it, he had like a sign unfurl behind him that said, we got him. And like,
big button to push.
Yeah. Confetti mm-hmm. drops down from the ceiling. Dancers come out.
Oh man. And it gets a little source needs that kind of production.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It just like,
we're not a visual media.
I'm still pretty convinced that nothing's going to happen. Certainly nothing.
Not from this.
I don't know. What's a reasonable, like, what has happened to other people when they have been convicted of this? My guess is probably not a lot.
I mean, they haven't really been.
Slap on
federal election fraud, I guess.
Campaign finance,
thank you. Is very poorly enforced.
Yeah.
It's usually a fine. Like, you'll pay a certain amount of money.
They tried to enforce it with the John Edwards case, and they failed because they couldn't bring enough proof.
Well,
and that was why I brought it up, because I just don't see this doing much. I see this firing up the Trump loyalists for the middle ground, the people who are like, I don't like Trump, but I hate the Democrats a lot. And he's the nominee, so like,
right,
same way that we felt for Biden, right?
Sure.
Those people, I think it's just one more drama point with Trump. I think most of the kind of the lean Republican people, they're really fed up with the constant drama and tabloidiness of him. I think this is a feather in the cap for DeSantis on that count.
Well, I think it's interesting because there was just a Fox News poll a couple of days ago. 61% of the people that they polled said they did not want Trump to be president again.
Yeah,
so
that's just like general population, or that's like specific?
No, that's Republicans. Fox. That's Fox News. That's Fox viewers.
Oh wow,
yeah. We're saying that. So
We got off of this a little bit, but I just wanted to say one thing about like indicting a sitting president. Like, if you indict a past president, like, I think what you're doing is you're just showing that nobody is above the law,
right,
and that the law is the most important, like habeas corpus, you know, that like the law is right, the supreme law of the land.
You can't
rather
just
than
run for president and have all of your sins forgiven, like at a confessional.
I am the law! I am the law!
But when you are a sitting president, I think that there's something to be said about, like, not nullifying the people's vote. There's something to be said about, like, not weakening America by indicting a sitting president while they are in office. Now, I don't think that means that they should be, like, kicking puppies or whatever, but, you know.
I agree with that. I think it's not a great look. I think maybe it's something where you, like, you suspend the statute of limitations while they're president. So if there were like charges brewing before they got elected, but now they're elected and you can't charge them for 4 years, fine, but that timer was waiting for 4 years and now it starts, so now we can resume bringing charges.
The other interesting thing is there were crimes that he was suspected of that had he been in office for another 4 years, they would have reached their statute of limitations.
Yeah.
And so, like, one of the reasons...
That's what you
there's
want
a thought
to
that,
to,
like,
yeah,
one of the reasons he was campaigning so hard against Biden was that he wanted that extra 4 years to try and get off on those crimes.
It's possible. I'm sure that was a factor, but...
Right, but he, like, committed so many other crimes just trying to do it.
He's a crime kind of guy.
Well, he's like a Mr. Magoo, like...
I want to say...
Inspector Gadget type character that he just, like, sort of stumbles into success.
Yeah, yeah. I do think I think one repercussion, one effect that this may have is, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about some of those other charges that are kind of waiting out there on him, and one thing that this may do is make it a little bit easier for them to bring those charges when they're ready, because that ice has been broken, right?
Sure.
That. A former president has now been charged, indicted.
And now
that
he's
threshold is
indicted
crossed
the second time.
So, like, whatever.
So, I, for one, say, hell yeah, let's do it.
Right?
I was pretty excited about this day before it came, and now that it's come, like, you know, I'm still waiting on the next one, the Georgia one.
Yeah, I just don't really care about this case. I think that, first of all, this case just does not have enough teeth to cause him any problems, or disqualify him. I think that it doesn't have the social teeth to move anybody. The group of people, right, that were on board with Trump but aren't because of this is
I think
10 people in Idaho.
It's like a guy who was busy with something
he
else.
He did what? Like, we've already all known about this.
He
for a
labeled
long time.
It as lawyer's fees? Yeah.
Wait a minute. Paying the porn star to be quiet, I can deal with, but lying about it in your business records, well, that is a step too far.
I mean, legally, that guy doesn't exist, right?
Right.
You know.
But that voter doesn't exist.
Probably not, generally.
So, I don't really think that this has any real impact other than maybe making it easier for more serious charges to be brought soon. And,
I'm glad that they're bringing it. Like, I'm glad that they, you know, didn't just say, like, all right, well, he's just a former president. We can never indict him on anything, ever.
Yeah. I guess it is worth just saying it out loud, but in the history books now, the very first former president to ever face criminal charges will be Donald Trump for paying a porn star hush money.
We did it!
We got him!
Is possibly the most American historical factoid we could have ever created.
Oh, we are going to be a very interesting entry.
The only thing I can think of that would have made it more American is if he then afterwards went and shut up a school.
Bazinga. I do want to point out that when we're recording this episode, it is 4:20 right now.
We didn't get to it, but at some point, I do want to talk about some of the shootings that have been going on that are politically charged.
Yep.
So, did anybody bring any?
Precious moments.
Precious moments.
I have one that I'm kind of excited about. There are some, like, negative parts about it, but I don't care. Marjorie Taylor Greene was giving a speech the other day and, you know, saying some nonsense. She's a pretty terrible person. But anyway, she was giving a speech, and, like, in the background, you could just hear, like, tweet, tweet, tweet.
Now, for 2 years, we've heard the story from the people on the January 6th committee. We've heard the story about how it was an insurrection, and I'm going to tell you something right now. It was not an insurrection.
And apparently, there's just a protester that started showing up to her various public events and just blowing on a whistle over and over and over again in the background. So
you could, why?
You could still, like, hear her fine and everything like that, but it was, to the person listening, it was very distracting. If I were trying to give a speech, it would be extremely distracting.
Wow.
And that's the kind of nonsense awesome. That I enjoy. When I was a teenager, a couple of times, the KKK would come to town or whatever, and we would just, like, stand there and, like, bang pots and pans while they were trying to do their, like, across the street or whatever, just try and, like, drown out their nonsense.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything, but I'm here for the pettiness. I love it.
So this is fun. So I also have a Marjorie Taylor Greene precious moment. So she tweeted this out on April 1st, which may or may not be an April Fool's joke, but...
Bazinga? Question mark?
This is the text of the tweet that she put up. I'm calling for the release of Julian Assange. His charges should be dropped. The United States of America must defend the First Amendment and protect freedom of the press. It's one of the greatest freedoms any nation can have.
Yeah,
I hate Marjorie Taylor Greene. Like, no, I'll go on record. Listen. I hate everything about the woman, but, like...
Except for that.
I mean, that tweet, like, yeah, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Sweet. I mean, exactly right. You
as
know?
They say, a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while, right?
Calls Billy Ho. Even the sun shines on a dog's ass some days. On a dog's ass? On a dog's ass.
It almost makes me suspicious because her endorsing that makes me like, well, maybe Julian Assange isn't that great a guy. After
all. Nice. Mine has nothing to do with politics. So y'all know, you've heard of Kylie Jenner?
Sure.
And of course you know Travis Scott, our old friend of the pod.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm.
So Kylie Jenner and Travis Scott have a baby. Had a baby somewhat recently.
Add a baby, eats a boy.
Yeah, I love that commercial. It was a commercial for, like, a long-distance phone plan or something. Like, it was from, like,
I've
the
never
90s
seen this.
Because, no, it's fine. We should just leave this in. It was, so, you remember back in the day, if you wanted to make a long-distance call, but you didn't want to pay long-distance charges, you'd just go over to, like, you go to a payphone and do a collect call.
800.
And then instead of saying your name, you just leave fast message.
Yeah, and you only had, like, a short amount of time.
Yeah.
So they ask you, like, what's your name? Add a baby eats a boy.
Yeah.
Okay, now that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know how I missed that in the 90s.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a good one. Anyway, so their baby's name is Air.
Air?
Yeah.
A-I-R, Air?
No, A-I-R-E. It is something that I guess they thought sounded really pretty.
I mean, that's fine.
But it's an Arabic word for my penis.
Oh,
there we go.
Well,
and so my guess is... to be fair, they did not know that when they named.
I think, but they're. I think they're rolling with it. They're just sticking by it. So I do find that amusing. I have one other quick thing for. It's sort of a precious moment, but it's just something that's really awesome, and I want to get it out here. Chuck D of Public Enemy,
love me some Chuck D.
Yeah, he's announced that he's creating a Bring the Noise app, which will be a hip hop app for people 35 plus. For our classic oldies.
Yeah.
And I cannot wait. It is basically my dream come true.
What does it do? It plays music?
It will...
It lets you meet hip-hop 35-plus singles?
I'm not really sure. I don't really care. I don't think that's important. I just think it's important that there's an app for people who... For old people who like hip-hop. Because
sweet.
Here's the thing. I keep thinking about, you know, when we're like, I don't know, 70, 80, and bumping Dr. Dre. Like, how do we... that's going to look weird.
So the thing that annoys me is so oldies stations in general, they tend to operate in a very specific way. Now, when you're listening to your oldies station in whatever town you're in, generally whatever decade you're in, they go 30 years back. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's the way they work. Now the thing is, 30 years back from where we are now, hip hop was in full force.
Yeah, sure.
But these oldies stations, they do not include it in their play.
Really?
It was like, cause they're into 80s music now.
Hmm.
And so they don't include, rap in their play for whatever reason. I mean, I think the reason is pretty clear, but it's like very frustrating. Cause like from the time I was a kid, like people are always like, I can't wait till Tupac's on the oldies station. Like, and now it's pretty clear that Tupac
gonna
is never going to be, right? Tupac is never going to be on the oldie station, and it bums me the hell out.
Well, it's not the end of the world because radio's dying anyway.
Right. Like, also, like, and now let me tell you my problem with print media.
Yeah, right.
Like, all right.
Those newspapers, they never get thrown all the way up to my porch.
Right.
Like, well, then go online, man. Like, I don't have to tell you.
My telegrams never come on time anymore.
Right.
Well, I think that's about our show.
Yeah. That being said, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/beatadeadsource. And if you subscribe, you can get some of our bonus content, which will include some a bonus episode, which I think this week we're just kind of doing some talking about all the stuff we've been going through in our lives recently. Yeah.
Yep.
So, fun. You know, if you like us or if you hate us and you'd like to know more about why, check out patreon.com/beatadeadsource. Subscribe.
And we're trying to, like, we have a small community on Facebook, but like, we'd love to get more people involved. And the only thing you need to do that is like, go and like, ask a question.
Yeah, say something.
Like, and involve yourselves, and we will be more than happy to like, get involved. We'd love that.
@dead_source Twitter.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. Anyway, you know, I was thinking that I really should come up with a catchphrase.
Well, hopefully we gave everyone something to think about this week.
Love you, bye.
Bye.
Impressive.
Yeah,
that's actually a very impressive lung capacity.